This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Genesis. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through Genesis chapters 19 through 22.
Rather than truthfulness, lying in this area was just sort of their mode of operation. Twice they've tried it now and they've gotten in trouble both times. You'd think they'd stop. Abraham's lies, though, like many lies today, were generated by fear. God can't protect me, so I'll manipulate the truth. I'll protect myself. Guys, fear can motivate a lying tongue. Verse 14, then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. And I'm sure he was being a little bit sarcastic when he called Abraham there her brother. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. She had lied to Abimelech, and yet Abimelech turns around and shows her kindness. It's what the New Testament calls heaping coals of fire upon her head. You know, exchanging a bad act for a kindness. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Guys, note that. God always does for us just as he has spoken. He keeps his promises. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And the name Isaac means he will laugh. Remember, both Abraham and Sarah laughed at God's promise, didn't they? They laughed that a 90-year-old Sarah would be able to bear a son. Apparently, though, God always gets the last laugh. Never forget that. And this is a funny sight. Picture in your mind. You'll laugh, too. Two silver-haired seniors. Abraham's 100. Sarah's 90. They come out of the maternity ward holding a little baby in their arms. That's a pretty funny picture. It was nothing short of a miracle, though. And I'm sure when it happened, they laughed for joy that the blessing of God had finally occurred. And remember, 25 years had elapsed between chapter 21 and chapter 12, between the giving of this promise and its reception. And I want you to understand that there will always be a delay between the giving and the receiving of God's promise. In fact, we're living in that delay right now. We're living in the in-between time. We've been promised heaven and a forever victory. But have we achieved it just yet? No, we're still waiting. And therefore, it takes faith and patience to endure and to inherit God's promises. There's always a delay between the giving of a promise and the receiving of that promise. Verse 4 tells us, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Remember, circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. It also reminds me of the Boston rabbi. He had a lot in common with Joe DiMaggio. They both were known as the Yankee Clipper. You just need to think about it. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Who would have thunk it? Verse 8, so the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Isaac was probably about 3 to 5 years old when he was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Now, this word, scoffing, implies more than just friendly kidding or sibling teasing. Galatians 4, verse 29 says that Ishmael persecuted Isaac. He tortured the boy. Therefore, Sarah said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." Remember, Abraham's liaison with Hagar was Sarah's idea. But now, she's got a different idea. Now she sees the brutal treatment that Ishmael is fostering on her son Isaac, and she wants Hagar and Ishmael tossed out on their ear. Verse 11, "And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son." Understand, at this point, Ishmael was 17 years old. And Abraham had been a faithful father. I mean, Abraham and his son Ishmael, they had built strong ties. Ishmael was a junior in high school. Abraham had coached him in baseball his whole life. I mean, they'd gone fishing and hunting together. This is hard on Abraham. And he's not sure if he really wants to cooperate with Sarah and boot out his boy. But God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed." God assures Abraham that he'll take care of Ishmael, that Hagar's son will become a great nation in his own right. But the house of Abraham is not big enough for both sons, and Ishmael is the odd man out, for Isaac is the promised son. "In Isaac, your seed shall be called," God says. And what was true of Abraham's household is true of the Middle East today. Yes, God has multiplied the Arab nations, but the sod, the seed, the salvation, the covenant that God made with Abraham belongs to Isaac, and Isaac alone belongs to Israel. Verse 14. "So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, 'Let me not see the death of the boy.' So she sat opposite him and filled her voice and wept, rejected, abandoned, left for dead, the both of them. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, 'What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation.' And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink." Once again, just as he did before, God comes to the aid of Hagar and Ishmael. They were kicked out of Abraham's house, but God didn't abandon them. Understand, God loved Ishmael just as he loves the Arabs today. It's ironic, really, but according to the New Testament, when the Arabs embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they in turn become a child of Abraham in another way, in a spiritual way, one of God's chosen people. Abraham left Ishmael for dead, but Jesus died in Ishmael's place. Verse 20, "So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran," which is sort of located right there in the center of the Sinai Peninsula. "And his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt." Galatians chapter 4 is an intriguing passage that plays off of this story. Paul actually uses the eviction of Ishmael and Hagar as a figurative or a symbolic application. He uses this story to encourage the church to kick the legalists out for persecuting the believers in grace. You have to go back and read it. Galatians chapter 4. I point it out to you because it's a fascinating New Testament use of an Old Testament passage. Verse 22. "And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, 'God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. You know, Abimelech, he saw Abraham's wealth, his power. He knew that God's favor was on Abraham's life. He also remembered that Abraham had this penchant for telling lies. And so he figured that Abraham could be a future threat. And so he seeks to form this alliance. And Abraham agrees to it, verse 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. And the word Beersheba means well of an oath. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. Which brings us to chapter 22. After Isaac is born, Abraham rested in Beersheba for many days. But now his faith gets tested as never before. After the rest comes the test. And that's true in our lives as well. Get ready. Did you hear that Abraham wanted to upgrade his personal computer with Windows XP? Did you hear about this? He wanted to upgrade to Windows XP, but Isaac told him, he said, Dad, you can't run Windows XP on your old slow Pentium 2. You need at least a Pentium 4 processor with a minimum of 512 megabytes of memory in order to multitask effectively with Windows XP. And that's when Abraham, this man of faith, calmly replied, Son, God will provide the RAM. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And notice, God calls Isaac Abraham's only son. God doesn't even recognize Ishmael as a child of Abraham, let alone as an heir. This means that among nations, Israel has an exclusive relationship with God. Israel is God's chosen people. And verse 2 here brings us hope as well. For if God doesn't mention Ishmael, it's obvious that he has forgotten Abraham's lapse of faith and his sin with Hagar. To me, this is proof that what God forgives, he forgets. God loved and remembered Ishmael, but not the works of the flesh that produced and accompanied his birth. As for God's plan, Isaac was an only son. Notice also verse 2. The word love appears for the very first time in the Bible. First mention of the word love. And it speaks of a father's love for his son. Abraham loved Isaac. But God tells Abraham to take Isaac and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I should tell you. Here is the ultimate test of faith. Imagine raising a knife with the intent of slitting the throat of your own son. Imagine that. And what made the command so confusing was that Isaac was heir to God's promise. God's command here flies in the face of both love and logic. And yet Abraham obeyed. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." And notice that phrase, "we will come back to you." Obviously, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead, that somehow God would work this out, that we, both me and the boy, will come back to you. This is what Hebrews 11, verse 19 tells us. There, Abraham concludes that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And notice, this was not only a test for Abraham, but this was also a picture for us. He said, in a figurative sense. As Father Abraham traveled 50 miles northeast to the mountain called Moriah to offer his only son Isaac, God the Father will make a trip to that same mountain 2,000 years later to offer his only son, Jesus. Mount Moriah was one of the hills on which the city of Jerusalem sat. It's interesting, in Abraham's day, there was a settlement about halfway up the mountain of Moriah. This means that Abraham probably climbed above that settlement to offer Isaac at the top of the hill, at the top of Moriah, at the very place that later would be called Golgotha or Mount Calvary. Abraham offered his son on the exact spot that 2,000 years later, God would offer his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you want to see the cross from the disciples' perspective, read the Gospels. If you want to understand the cross from Jesus' perspective, read that prophetic passage in Psalm 22. But if you want to see the cross from the Father's perspective, you got it right here. Genesis chapter 22. Though through Abraham, we can see the Father's heart on display as he raises the knife and sacrifices his own son. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Abraham took the wood of the sacrifice, and he laid it on Isaac. You remember Jesus also carried a piece of wood up that same hill, Moriah. He carried a Roman cross. The Father picked up a piece of wood and put it on Jesus and had him carry it to the place of sacrifice. Notice also in verse 3, two men travel with Abraham to offer Isaac. There were two thieves on the cross, remember, who also traveled with Jesus on his gruesome journey. And when do you think that Isaac died in the mind of Abraham? When do you think he died in Abraham's mind? When they left, obviously. He was willing to do it. When they left to make the trip, in Abraham's mind, his son was dead. And what's intriguing about that is that according to verse 4, it took 3 days to reach Moriah. And thus, from Abraham's perspective, his son rose from the dead on the third day, which is exactly what happened to God's son, Jesus Christ. Remember, too, both Isaac and Jesus had miraculous births. Isaac is a fascinating type of Jesus, and Abraham a type of God the Father. Verse 7 tells us, "But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' And so the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him." In other words, there was an exact spot where God wanted this drama to unfold. And I believe that spot would later support Calvary's cross. And Abraham built an altar there. Abraham was good at building altars, wasn't he? He was always building altars everywhere he went. Abraham was a worshiper. And Abraham placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. When he placed the wood in order, I wonder if he placed it in the shape of a cross. Could be. Now understand, at this point, Isaac is a grown man. Jewish commentators like to suggest that Isaac was 30-something at the time of this episode. Abraham, remembers, he was over 100. He's an old geezer. And to bind a 30-year-old man on the altar, he needed some cooperation. Hey, we all talk about the faith of Abraham. But what about the faith of Isaac? That's what's impressive here. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Try to imagine what's happening in this old man's heart. His 100-year-old heart is pounding. His mind is screaming no. His hand is trembling. He can barely hold the knife. Tears are flowing down his cheeks. His emotions are caught between the desire to obey and a love for his son. What gives this man, Abraham, the strength to stretch out his hand and to lift his knife and to do the impossible? It was faith. Faith lifted him above the obstacles. Faith that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Faith that somehow God would work this thing out. And guys, it is faith that gives us the strength to pass the test that God has us in tonight. It is faith that gives us the strength to overcome the obstacles in our lives. Well, just as Abraham is about to plunge the knife right into the throat of his son, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Through faith, he had passed with flying colors. He had passed his test. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," in Hebrew, Jehovah Jireh, "God my provider. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Isaac was not the sinless sacrifice that God would ultimately require. Thus he stopped the hand of Abraham. But 2,000 years later, God will not stop his own hand. Jesus was ultimately the ram that God would provide for the sin of mankind. Verse 15, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 makes a big deal out of the fact that the word seed is singular and not plural. In your seed, not seeds, all the nations shall be blessed. And Paul in Galatians says that that is a reference to one man, Jesus Christ. Salvation came through a special descendant of Abraham, our Lord Jesus. Verse 19. "So Abraham turned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, 'Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, Buz his brother.'" And boy, do I like those two names. Huz and Buz. What a great name for boys. "Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jilof, and Bethuel, and Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Tahash, and Maaca."
That concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast with Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us next time as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the first book of the Bible, Genesis. You can learn a great deal about Pastor Sandy by visiting our website. The web address is sandyadams.org. That's sandyadams.org. Simply click on the radio program option from the main menu. When you click on the radio program option at the website, you'll find today's message and many other messages from Pastor Sandy. You can download today's teaching, listen again, subscribe to the podcast, or browse the archive of messages. If you live in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area, or will be visiting anytime soon, you can get directions and times for our worship services. Again, the website for all this information is sandyadams.org. We love hearing how God's Word touches the lives of His followers. So please log on to sandyadams.org and click on the Contact Us link and send us a note about how today's message has encouraged you. Your feedback helps us tremendously. Once again, you've been listening to the Daily Bible Teaching Program of Pastor Sandy Adams. Please tune in next time as we continue through the book of Genesis. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.